That's different.
That was different, yeah.
Oh,
Okay.
we've got a consent now. Never used to it. Got a consent.
Having just said that, you know, for me, every day is the same, and we can celebrate every day. This morning, I was going to talk about Pentecost, obviously. From Acts 1, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Just as he told them to wait in Jerusalem. And we're going to start by singing. We have gathered.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Fill this place. Fill these places, Lord, every home represented here. Fill our rooms, fill our hearts, fill our lives with your presence, Lord. We wait for you. We wait for you. Thank you. In Acts 2, it tells us the story of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't he amazing? And for the last few weeks, we've been praying in our Tuesday morning and Thursday morning prayer meetings about the mountains that face each of us, the various mountains that we face in our walk. And we've been praying into how to get breakthrough over those mountains. And while I was reading this story, I just thought, what a huge mountain in front of the disciples. In the previous chapter, Jesus said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." And he goes on to talk to them about what's going to happen, and they, you can see in their hearts they're believing that Jesus has come to restore, you know, the kingdom of Israel, and you know, that's the end of the Roman Empire, they're all gone, kingdom of God is coming, everything's going to be great. And then it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. So, you know, they've just recognized him as Messiah. He's come to save them. He's come to put everything right. And then he disappears. And they just have this instruction to go and wait in Jerusalem. And if you put yourself in their position, how would you feel? You know, compared with the mountains that we face, look at what they were facing. They've just, the Messiah was standing in front of them and then he's gone. And they're left on their own. And tells them to wait in Jerusalem, which is probably the most dangerous place for them to be at that time, with every Roman soldier looking for them. And he just says, wait. You know, and sometimes when we're faced with a mountain which is too big for us to cope with, the best thing to do is just wait. Wait on him and see what he has to say. You know, so often we start trying to climb the mountain, don't we, or break it down. But he just said, wait. And we know what happened, but they didn't. They were just waiting in the upper room in Jerusalem for something, for the gift the Father had promised. And they didn't really know what it was, did they? And I think it was 2 weeks ago now, the Lord gave me a psalm as we were praying about the mountains, Psalm 97, verse 3-5. It says, "Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries on all sides. His lightnings have illuminated the world. The earth has seen and trembled." And this bit, "The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." The mountains melted like wax. So the problems that we see before us, and sometimes they're enormous problems, they melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. In fact, the psalm says the mountains melted like wax. So that mountain you're facing, is it really there? Is it there? Or has it already melted and it's just an illusion of a mountain in front of us? You know, it's quite often we're faced with a step of faith, aren't we? And what we see as a mountain or a chasm in front of us, it's only when we step out that it disappears. You experienced that? I've certainly experienced that. Mm-hmm. Something that seems so daunting. But when you take that first step and you trust God and you believe in him, it just disappears. Mm-hmm. You know, if ever you've had an argument with somebody or somebody's taken offense and you have to go and see them and talk it through, in your spirit, your heart's pounding and, you know, you don't know how it's going to go, how they're going to react. You know, you know, whether you're walking into an inferno or what, you know. But when you get there and start talking, there's just a simple misunderstanding and it all goes away. You know, that's my experience with God. Is when we step out in faith and trust him, these mountains, they can just disappear. I have to say, it hasn't always been my experience, but the majority of times that's what happens. You know, and just look at, we can be transformed in his presence. It's not just that the mountains melt and disappear. It's that he can transform us so that the mountain doesn't look like a mountain anymore in our eyes. You remember the spies that went into the promised land? And most of them came back and said, there's giants in the land and we're like grasshoppers. But when we allow him to transform us, we can see that we're not grasshoppers. They're not giants. Because what we have, you know, God in us is so much greater than anything that we face in our day-to-day life. Peter was a great example, wasn't he? In you know, he just denied Jesus, just denied knowing him. And now he's hiding in a room in Jerusalem, probably terrified that they're going to be found by Roman soldiers at any moment. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills him. And what happens next? He goes out on the streets and preaches. I mean, that's not the actions of a frightened man who's just denied knowing Jesus, is it? You know, he was transformed when the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he went out and all he really said to those people out there was what he'd seen happen. He just went out and told them what he'd seen. And 3,000 of them came to the Lord that day. 3,000 just by his testimony. I know he threw a few scriptures in as well, but hey, you know, the power of our testimony. When we've been in God's presence and we come out and we tell people what we've seen, it can be powerful. And we need to be expecting, you know, maybe not 3,000 at first, but 2 or 3, 4 or 5, whole of Whitney, whole of Oxfordshire, Gloucestershire. I'm just looking now. I think Suzanne's in Oxford, aren't you, Suzanne? So I'll skip Leicestershire and go straight up to Scotland where Dave is, you know. Dave, you're our representative in Scotland. Pray for Scotland, mate, that they all come to see Christ.
Yeah,
amen. You know, we spend quite a lot of time learning, and there's nothing wrong in learning and doing courses and finding out more. But what we really need to be doing is putting that learning into practice. You know, we can learn and learn and learn forever, and we just become great big puffballs of knowledge. And it doesn't really help anybody unless you go out and put it into practice. And Phil, you're a teacher. You must know you can teach your kids forever, but unless they actually put the teaching into practice, it's no good to them, is it? It's no good just to hoard knowledge. You need to put it into practice and use it. And what we know about the kingdom of God, about Jesus, other people need to know it. And we need to go out there into the world and just do the things that Jesus did and make the kingdom known to others. There's a scripture in James that says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You know, and we love being in his presence and we love learning, but it's only good to us if we're doing that. If we're going to be good to anyone else, we need to actually put what we've learned into practice. We need to go out, and it's not a forced thing. You know, we can only do what he enables us to do, but we need to have that desire to go out and show his kingdom, show his glory to others. And we'll probably face some ridicule from time to time, but that's part of the dross being scraped off, as Adrian was sharing earlier. It's part of the refining. You know, when people ridicule you, do you take offense, or do you look at them and say, Father, they don't know what they're doing? It's a challenge, isn't it? But if God asks you to do something, then there's no downside, really. There's no downside, because ridicule's just become riches in his kingdom. You know, look at the things that Jesus went through. Are we ready to go through similar for his sake? But in the end, it benefits us. It's you know, it's accredited. It says, I can't remember the scripture now, but it says Abraham's deeds were credited to him as righteousness. So whatever reaction we get, Father sees our heart and he sees our deeds and he credits them to us. So it's wonderful. We're not here forever. We're only on the earth for a short time. I can live with ridicule for a few tens of years, because I know the rewards I'm going to get in heaven. So I just encourage you to step out when he tells you to. We don't go out like a fool and invite ridicule. But if he tells us to do something, we need to be bold like Peter was and just step out and do it. And Jesus told us at the end of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, he says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And I'm really looking forward to my life being an example of that. I'm really looking forward to Oasis being an example of that in Whitney. That whatever we're faced, we can do the things that Jesus did and the things he said we would do, you know, greater things than he did. We will cast out demons, speak in new tongues, pick up snakes with our hands, and when we drink deadly poison, we will not be hurt at all. We will place our hands on sick people and they will get well. Amen. That's what his kingdom on earth looks like. It doesn't look like us saying to people, you need to know Jesus, and them laughing at us. What it looks like is, you need to know Jesus because this and this and this is happening in your life and he can make it better. And look, if I put my hand on your leg and invite the Holy Spirit, it gets healed. That's what I'm longing to see. And that's the promise in the Gospels. That's what Jesus said would happen. And this Pentecost, I just want to invite Holy Spirit again into each one of us for a fresh infilling, a fresh fire, like the disciples got in the upper room. Tongues of fire on each one of us to give us the boldness to go out, do the things that Jesus did, do the things that Peter did, do the things that the other disciples did. They did them in the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have anything that we haven't got. And yet they turned the world upside down. And there's more of us. We should be able to make a bigger impression than they did. There's no guilt or condemnation here. This is just what it says we should be doing. It's what I long to be doing. And, you know, sometimes we go out and we do try and do these things and they don't happen. And I don't understand why. And I'm asking God why. But I think when times like that, we just need to come back to him and spend more time in his presence. It's all about our relationship with him, our close relationship, so he can tell us what we're doing wrong, how we should approach things, you know, maybe slightly differently, or perhaps we stepped out on our own without him. And I love that scene from the shack where Jesus takes the guy's hand and they run across the lake. And then later on in the film, he tries to run across the lake again and he just sort of splashes in and sinks. And Jesus says, "Isn't it much better with me?" I just love that scene. You know, we do something with Jesus and it works and we think we can do it, but we can't. Every time we need to come back to him. We need to come back to him and just hold his hand and say, "How do we do this, Lord? How do we do this?" Yeah. The most effective time I've had when I was praying for people in front of a church, every person that came forward, I said, "Lord, what do you want to say to this person?" And he gave me words for every single person that came forward. It's just that he's with us all the time and we need to be speaking to him all the time. We need to be listening to what he's saying all the time. And we need to be filled afresh all the time. And coming back to what I was, you know, it's Pentecost today, but it's Pentecost tomorrow, and it's Pentecost on Tuesday, and it's Pentecost on Wednesday, because we can be refilled with Holy Spirit continually. In fact, we need to be refilled with Holy Spirit continually. We need to know him. We need to spend time with him. And when we do, we won't do anything that he's not telling us to do. And we get really, really get to know him. That's my heart, that we all get there. So when you walk down the road, your shadow heals people. When you see somebody in pain, you just put your hand on them and the pain goes. All for his glory. All for his glory. It's all about love for other people and love for him. Showing his love for other people. And we just need to be so filled with him. So filled with him. So we're going to spend a bit more time in his presence now. And I just want to encourage you to just open your hearts. Let him fill your room. Let him fill your hearts. Let him fill you from head to toe. And just bask in his presence while we sing these next few songs. See what he has to say to you this morning. Amen.